And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the first Sunday in the season of Advent, and the first Sunday of the entire church calendar, the first gospel is one that any casual observer might say does not belong where it appears. We might expect to read something of perhaps the Annunciation, that day of enormous significance where the Virgin Mary acquiesces to the will of God at the word of the angel Gabriel, and by the Holy Spirit our Lord was conceived in her womb. The feast, that feast at least, makes sense for the beginning of a season that concludes with the celebration of the birth of Christ. But the Feast of the Annunciation is set at a place in the calendar that is much more chronologically literal than our gospel for this morning. The Annunciation is observed on March 25th, 9 months before Christmas. Instead, today we hear a gospel passage that appears closer to the end of each of the gospel narratives, an account of Jesus, fully grown now and established in his ministry, entering Jerusalem triumphantly, greeted with hundreds or perhaps thousands of people who had, each of them, hope of one kind or another at Jesus' arrival. Some hope that he would free Israel from the oppression of the Romans. Some hope that he would do miracles and wonders, and they cheered him as they would a magician or a celebrity. Some hoped that his conflict with the religious structures of Jerusalem would finally come to something like a climax. Some hoped that he would perhaps come close to and touch them and meet them personally at their place of need. And no doubt some hoped, as Zacchaeus one day did, when, being a man of short stature, he climbed up a tree, hoping just for a chance to catch a glimpse of Jesus as he passed on his way. This last hope, that of Zacchaeus, just to see a glimpse of Jesus, seems to be the least of the hopes, but I think it's much more when we consider the grand narrative of interaction between God and his people. It is, for me, two of the most moving verses of our hymnal tradition, in the fourth and fifth verses of For All the Saints. The words are repeated, and when the strife is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Alleluia, alleluia. But then there breaks a still more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia. Season of Advent, as evidenced by the gospel appointed for this first day, is not simply about acknowledging historical chronology. Jesus was first conceived and then he was born. But more so a pattern that is established in the entire history of God's interaction with humanity, with us, a reality that is epitomized in the scene of Jesus' triumphal entry. And the pattern that is repeated again and again is this: our Lord is coming to his people. He has come to us, he is coming to us, and he will come to us again. And as is his prerogative and even his divine idiosyncrasy, he comes on a day and at a time when he is not expected. If we do a brief review, the Lord came to Adam and Eve after their fall at a time they were not expecting, asking them, if you think about it, the first question God ever asked of a human being, and one that we should pay close attention to: where are you? Followed by, who told you you were naked? And have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from? The Lord came to Abraham at a time he was not expecting, giving a mysterious introduction: get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Again, he came to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre, saying to him that even in his old age, by this time next year, you and Sarah will have a son. That's unexpected. The Lord came to Jacob, wrestling with him in the river Jabbok, certainly in a way and in a time he had not expected. He came to Moses, appearing as a burning bush. The Lord came to Saul and David and Solomon and the prophets. In the Annunciation, which we've just mentioned, we see how the Lord also makes himself known not just to patriarchs and kings and prophets, but to the lowly, to the young Saint Mary. In Christmastide, we see again how he makes himself known to shepherds in the fields, certainly not expecting the message they received. But today, we place ourselves in the company of those who saw the Lord arrive at Jerusalem. We stand in the crowds with those who saw our Lord establish a paradigm, the Lord entering his kingdom. And we rehearse our role as those who fulfill the truest manifestation of that crowd who received him into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Today we rehearse our role as those who look for that still more glorious day, the saints triumphant rising in bright array. We stand with that countless host who will one day finally see the King of Glory passing on his way. He comes to us as a child. He comes to us meek and riding on a donkey. And he comes to us as our victorious Redeemer. But in the end, the season of Advent is not primarily about the past. For the Lord also comes to us as our judge, whether at the day of our death, the day of his final return. It is with all these in mind that we begin this season of Advent. He came to us at a time that was unexpected 2,000 years ago, and he promises that no one knows the day or the hour that he will come again. And so, as wise and faithful and believing followers of Christ, we ready ourselves for his arrival by God's help. And how should we ready ourselves for his advent? But we do so in a very solemn way. It sometimes comes as a shock for people to realize that the centuries-old theme for Advent has been the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. We were expecting something a little more festive. Some festive, joyous theme is a drum roll to the cymbal crash of Christmas. People tend, in fact, as a rule, to resist the thoughts of the four last things as the peppermint lattes begin to flow. But if we take seriously the reasons that on this day we hear of the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem, we will see how these four last things ought to be primary in our thoughts as Christmas approaches. Perhaps this is a day when we consider the many ways in which the Lord has come to his people, and which we should recall most prominently the question that he asked of Adam and Eve first. And imagine him asking it of us, and us asking it of ourselves. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Adam and Eve, where are you? Why are you hiding? Christ is coming again, and each must live in expectation of his arrival, knowing his penchant for coming when people least expect it. Therefore, the season of Advent is a time to face squarely our death, our own mortality, recognizing that as that day approaches, the day of our meeting the Lord face to face approaches as well. Indeed, we will meet. Where are you? The season of Advent is a time to face squarely the promise we receive that we will be judged by our Lord. And we will understand finally on that day this paradox of how it can be true that the scriptures indicate both that it is the righteousness of Christ by which we are justified, and yet, as Jesus himself warns us, that what we have done and what we have left undone will be judged on that day. And he will ask, "Where are you?" The season of Advent is one in which we consider also both heaven and hell and cannot escape that these final realities are such that we should use our time of expectation of the Lord's arrival to take seriously what he's spoken to us about what it means to be either in heaven or in hell. And so on this day, we must respond to his question, as Adam and Eve had to answer on that fateful day, to the Lord, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires are known. What will we answer when he asks, "Where are you? Are you hiding?" The arrival of our Lord in Jerusalem filled those who received him with hope. Some hoped to see the kingdoms of the world fall and his arise, and some hoped that he would confront the religious leaders and set them all straight, and some hoped that he would finally heal them, and others hoped just to catch a glimpse of him who came to save us all. May the solemnities of our season make us ready to honestly sing joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. May the considerations of our own mortality, our own judgment, our own eternal destiny motivate us to faithfully observe this season of penitence and preparation. And may we awake from our slumber to recognize that the Lord has come to us. He comes to us today in his sacrament, and he will return to us in person soon. May we be ready to answer the question, "Where are you?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.